Mics.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Very few people make it in life without the help of others. And much of that help comes from relatives and friends, but finding a mentor can be equally, if not more, valuable. That mentor can informally pass along knowledge and advice while building social capital and help point in the right direction young people who may not have successful adult figures in their lives. Mayor Patrick Cannon was mentored by Phil McCrory, brother to Charlotte's former mayor and now North Carolina governor, and that relationship was built through Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Greater Charlotte, and their efforts in that area continue today. Now Mayor Cannon is returning the favor, I'm told, by mentoring other young people. Both men join us for the hour, along with Karen Calder, CEO of Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Greater Charlotte, and Mark Teagle, chair of the Mayor's Mentoring Alliance Advisory Board for the City of Charlotte. Welcome to all of you. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, and thank you so much, Mike.
Nice to have you here. First of all, this is the first time, Mayor Cannon, that you have been on this program since your election and your inauguration, so congratulations to you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to be a part and to hopefully to come back and delve deeper down into what's been going on citywide.
Okay, well, I hope you will come back.
Sure.
Before we talk about mentoring, the city was just announced that the city passed on the Republican National Convention, and we did, by all accounts, a stellar job of hosting the Democratic National Convention a couple of years ago. This is actually surprising news that the city would pass on another chance to be in the spotlight, because we love the spotlight in Charlotte. Why did we say, maybe next time?
Well, while we do love the spotlight, we still remain in the spotlight. The DNC still has residue that's existing out there, and Charlotte continues to still get good reviews for it everywhere I go throughout the country. People are still talking about what happened here in the city of Charlotte. It's a good thing. Just coming off of the heels of that, one thing certainly that people know is that Charlotte is a place where this convention could have been pulled off. We have this whole village concept. We're walkable. You have cultural arts and facilities. You have entertainment venues. You have restaurants, et cetera, and housing accommodations. So, one of the things that's really important to me is making sure that we're focused on the various things that affect our community between transportation, public safety, economic development, our environment, et cetera. And one of the things that the DNC took away happened to be a lot of the attention that needed to be honed in on, I think, by our former mayor, Anthony Fox, who did the best that he could, but obviously could not invest all of the time and resources and his energies into doing that. I want to make sure that we're continuing to make sure that we're being about that program, but also recognizing, as the governor recognizes, that our business community and the public sector is in a place of coming off of something that was really, I won't call it grueling, but it took a lot of time to pull it off. And we want to make sure that we continue to have leadership that recognizes that we want to keep Charlotte at the top. And in order to do that, we need to maintain our focus.
And you didn't want to get involved in this in the first year of your first term.
Well, and didn't want to do that. And we know that 2020 is around the corner. And so even though we may not be looking at 2016, 2020 is something that we'd certainly like to engage in as far as the Republican National Convention.
That'd be your third term.
We'll see what the people say.
So, you were mentored early in your life by Phil McCrory, who's sitting to your left. How did that relationship between you and Mr. McCrory come to be?
Well, it came to be. I had a previous big brother by the name of Jake Suggs. And Jake was really, really good, but he had some other things that he needed to turn his attention toward. And as a result, one day, a gentleman came to the home and walked in and said, look, he's talking to my mom and talking to me. And so I got this guy, and really good guy, clean cut, sharp, knows his stuff. He's outside in the driveway. And I'm thinking, okay, well, we're going to bring him in, or. so he goes and get this guy, and walks Phil McCrory. Mm-hmm. And Phil McCrory is someone who, golly, just, introduced me to a lot, didn't mind spending time with me, and the things that we do were just, it wasn't about money, him having to spend it. It was just really about having some quality time with someone who cared about you.
How old were you at the time?
I was probably around 12 or 13.
12 or 13.
Yeah.
And when did you decide to become a mentor? This is through Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, when did you decide to become a mentor, Phil?
Probably after I graduated from Chapel Hill, graduated in 77,
was looking for things to do.
So were you were in your 20s, young 20s.
22, 23, mm-hmm. 24, yeah. Mm-hmm. And had some of friends that were involved with Big Brothers, and I just – Smitty Flynn was my caseworker at the point in time, and we had some good long discussions and felt that would be a good thing to do.
So was the mayor your first mm-hmm. mentee? Have there been others?
The only one for me, Patrick. So.
he's still my big today. Okay. He's still my big brother.
Yeah, you refer to people as bigs and littles,
That's
right?
Exactly right.
Is he the only one you've had since the
– I'm thinking about getting back into it. So
are you serious?
Let's talk about that.
He was it?
Yeah.
It was a one-off.
Well,
why?
You know, I could only have one little brother in my wedding and things like that.
Right, yeah. I wouldn't settle for anybody else being
so I'd like to hear from both of you, because there's a lot of people out there who maybe have considered the idea of doing this or understand the need for it but are reluctant to get involved. And maybe there are young people out there or parents of young people who are out there who just would feel a little odd about all of this. I'd like to hear from both of you about what it feels like to be at the beginning of a relationship.
Well, let me first speak to the parent piece of it all. You know, I don't think anyone should feel odd about it if you're a parent. My mom was a single parent, and because the life of my father was taken when I was at a very early age. And look, she knew and understood, in as much as she had a lot of wits about her, she knew that exposure was key. And making sure that there would be a male role model or figure there in my life would be very important. And so that's how it came to be, where she turned her attention toward Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America. And in turn, obviously, it didn't hurt me in terms of where I am. But
You had some other great role models. Your grandfather was a great role model.
Indeed.
So why did he need? Why did you need a big brother? If you have a great grandfather as a role model, and obviously a mother who cared enough to pursue relationship, why did you need a big brother?
Well, because a grandfather is a grandfather, and a grandfather can always be with you and do the things that you want to do physically, like play basketball, mm-hmm. which is what we did, like go whitewater rafting, something like what we would do then, like even have a stick shift that was a Honda back in the day that you could sit on the passenger side and change the gears of. I don't think Phil knows that he taught me how to drive a school bus with me just knowing and understanding when he would push that clutch in, helping me to change those gears and figure out. And so when the time came, when I was at South Mech High to be a student driver, they wanted me to. The instructor wanted me to drive, and was telling other people to get up out of the chair because they were making all these mistakes. But it's just to say that, Mike, there's a lot there that can be realized and appreciated. And you heard me mention time earlier.
Yeah.
One of the things we do often, we get in that Honda and we go for the Treetop Apartments, then off of Nations Ford Road. If you ever remember that back in the day,
absolutely.
So that's where Phil used to live, and we'd go and we'd get ice cream and we'd make these shakes. And then we go and we cut on the Carolina game, but we listen to it by radio and watch it by, of course, television. And that was just the most. And then, of course, we'd wrestle in between, halftime, and I'd beat him up, he'd let me,
So talk about the beginnings, because it's, you're meeting somebody for the very first time, and suddenly you're in this relationship where one guy is certainly older and in control, and the other guy is younger and at the mercy of the older guy. I mean, is it an awkward beginning? How do you establish a relationship that works?
It's just doing the little things. It's going to the mall. It's going to Carowinds. It's just talking and listening. It's getting to know the family. I got to know Carmen and your grandfather and your aunt as well as anybody, I think. And, Patrick got to know my family quite well. I was getting into a relationship at that time, which, I ultimately married my wife, and he was in my wedding. And it's the little things that made a big difference.
You said to somebody, because I read it yesterday, that your relationship with Mayor Cannon seemed like a good fit almost from the start. Why?
No particular reason. We just connected.
Yeah.
We just wanted to have a relationship.
Well, I think I can speak a little bit to that. One of the hallmarks of our program is the care that we take on the front end of the relationship. So we spend a lot of time getting to know the little brother, the little sister, and the mentors. So we're not just putting people together just for the sake of making match relationships. We're really about strong relationships and enduring relationships. So we, again, invest that time on the front end to make sure that we're putting people together that have the very best chance of getting along from the first minute they meet.
How do you do that?
It's through spending time, getting to know people, getting to know what they like to do, their personalities, understanding the challenges that our children present with, their family dynamics, and really matching them up, again, with a mentor that's going to have the very best chance of sticking it out.
I mean, this seems fairly subjective. Is there a science to it? Is there a way to quantify it before the relationship begins? How successful have you been? Obviously, fairly successful, but are there moments when you don't get it right?
There are moments when we don't get it right, of course. A lot of human judgment goes into this matchmaking process. However, having said that, over 80% of our matches last through the first year. So that's the first key measurement that we take into consideration. But our average match length for our community-based program is over 3 years. Mm. So something is being done right, absolutely.
How long would you like it to be? Does it depend on the age of the young person? I mean, if he's 17, you don't need somebody till he's 30. But
it depends on the person.
If he's 6 or 7 or 8, how long do you hope that relationship goes?
Well, we ask for a minimum of 1 year. Mm-hmm. However, it's not a 1 year commitment. You know, folks get involved in our program thinking, well, I'm going to make a difference. And really, that difference does not just occur in a 1 year period of time. And I think we do such a nice job of matching mentors with children that they want the relationship to last. And oftentimes, when a match closes in our program, it's because people are moving, it's not because they want to end the relationship.
Karen Calder is CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Charlotte. Also with us here today is Mark Teagle, who's the chair of the steering advisory board of the Mayor's Mentoring Alliance. How long has that organization been in business, so to speak?
Sure. We were formed in 1995, 96-ish, really as a support network for mentoring agencies and organizations that serve our city's most vulnerable youth. We had a shift about 3 years ago, really moved towards upholding that evidence-based standards that Karen's talking about. And instilling those responsible practices so that we can develop caring and supportive relationships, long-term ones.
And how do you differ from Big Brothers Big Sisters? I know there's more than one organization in town that does what Big Brothers Big Sisters does, but how do you differ?
Sure, we're the network for all mentoring organizations here in Charlotte.
And how many different organizations are there?
We're up to 44 right now.
What? 44. Wow. 44. Sure. And how do they differ? And why do we need 44?
It's a great question. But the issue is that everybody has a slice that they really focus on.
Okay.
There are those that focus – one of the organizations that I'm involved with is ACE. They look at architecture, construction, engineering students. So they go in, we get architects in the classroom. They sit down in a group mentoring standpoint and work with these kids throughout the year.
So are some of these academic mentors as opposed to just life coaches, or how does that work?
Sure, and it's whatever the kid needs. There are so many organizations that we can match up any child's need with an organization that can provide that. Big Brothers Big Sisters is great because they have such a breadth that mm-hmm. they can hit, and we have all these other organizations that whatever your need is, it can be filled.
So it can be individual, actually, or corporate type citizens. You have a group mentor, then you have a best practice agency that participates, and then of course you have the mentors themselves, and then of course you have business partners. So there's a gamut.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about Big Brothers and Big Sisters, what they do, what their particular niche in all of this is, and more as we cover the gamut here of mentoring and being mentored on Charlotte Talks. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Blumenthal Performing Arts, presenting Angelique Kidjo, a Grammy Award-winning recording artist deemed Africa's premier diva, February 8th in McGlowan Theater. Tickets at 704-372-1000. Last Friday, the stock market fell pretty badly after a week of losses, and that caused investors to wonder about the safety of their retirement savings, which they saw as just having recovered from the Great Recession. A lot of people are still scared to get into the market. Those who are there don't want a repeat of 2008. They're wondering where to put that money to get themselves into better fiscal shape and also to protect that money for retirement or their children's college funds. We bring back two very successful financial advisors tomorrow to talk about all of that and more, beginning at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, shipping crude oil by rail increased sharply in the past decade. A federal agency is calling for stricter safeguards. What the new rules could mean for industry, population centers, and the Keystone XL pipeline.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about mentoring and being mentored with the mayor of Charlotte, Patrick Cannon, who is a former little brother. Phil McCrory was his former big brother. He's the president of McCrory & Company, and he got involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters in his early 20s. He's also the brother to the governor. Does that need to be said, you think? Karen Calder is the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Charlotte, and Mark Teagle is the chair of the Mayor's Alliance Advisory Board. We just talked about how there are 44 organizations in Charlotte who are involved in various different aspects of mentoring and different kinds of relationships to fill different kinds of needs. But, Mr. Mayor, you spoke at the U.S. Conference of Mayors in D.C. last week about this, about the need for mentors. And you say that in Charlotte, despite these 44 organizations, we're still short of mentors.
Yes, and not just Charlotte, but I would say that's across the country. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we are encouraging as many mentors, adults, that will go and, you know, take a step out there and say, you know what, I have 2 hours within a month to dedicate. I have 15 hours in a month. I have 20 that I can spread out, because different agencies or organizations have their own criteria as to the number of hours that must be met. And it just makes a lot of sense if we can engage more mentors to be involved in the lives of mentees, because right now, it was like when I was coming up, sometimes people wanted to match up people based upon their color. Well, no. Match people up based upon where there's a click, where there's a good match, where there's synergy. And that was the match that Phil and I happened to have. It didn't matter what he looked like. It didn't matter what I looked like. We were two individuals that saw that we're human, and we wanted to partake in having a good time with one another, and that's what we did.
So what year was this when the two of you first met?
I want to say 1978, 79.
Okay. And color didn't matter, because, people have very short memories. Yes. about civil rights and the movement toward equality, et cetera, et cetera. And 1978 was actually still early in the process. Yeah. So color didn't matter? What the fact?
Early in the process, but not impactful upon the viewpoint that Phil and I actually happen to have about one another.
I don't know if you can remember back that far, quite honestly, because I don't remember what I thought in 1978, but were you at all apprehensive about this?
Not at all.
Yeah.
No. I was raised in a family where that didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I remember my caseworker, Smitty Flynn, said, a great guy, great family. Give it a shot, and we gave it a shot.
Yeah,
but then there's the whole idea, and you just took on a little sister.
I did.
Karen. You're older, obviously. How do you get into the head?
I'm not that old.
I'm older than your little sister.
Oh, sure.
So you were older than Patrick Cannon, Phil. So how do you get into the head of a young person? How do you relate to that person so that you can make a difference, so that you can get their trust, get their understanding, so that you can understand where they're coming from, so that it's a productive relationship?
I think it's all about just making time for each other. And, oftentimes, our mentors are that special friend to the mentee that they can open up to about whatever's going on in their lives that sometimes they may not feel comfortable talking to their parents about, because the parent, let's face it, is going to have a judgment about a choice that they've made. And whereas it's the mentor's job not to judge a choice or a decision that this child has made, but to be there for them and to be that caring adult friend in their lives.
I want to hear from you about that, Phil.
Well, I was 22, 23 at the time. He was 12, so about a 10-year difference. As much as anything, I think Patrick wanted consistency, dependability, someone that he could, we would visit once a week. on average. Sometimes it would be on Wednesday night, sometimes it would be on a Saturday, but I was there for him. And I think he was looking for someone that he could trust and rely on.
Would you call Phil occasionally between the Wednesday-Saturday visits if you had a question or you had concerns?
Absolutely.
What would you call about? What did you talk about that would require a conversation?
We couldn't email at that time.
Right, we couldn't email at that time.
In text.
So, I mean, what did you talk about in those in the time periods between the scheduled visits?
Just basically anything. I mean, it could be school. How things are going in school. I mean, he was always an ear for that kind of thing. Just any kind of casual conversation, because remember what I said earlier, it's really about the idea that someone wants to take some time mm-hmm. just to interface with you via telephone or in person. And so, you know, Mike, I have found it where when I wanted to be a mentor to a mentee, I've kind of looked for somebody who came up like I did, okay? Someone who probably is from a single parent home, probably believes that there's nobody there to listen to them and think about where they're coming from. That's how I would pair myself up sometimes with some mentees that are out there. For instance, I was at Ranson Middle School about maybe 2 weeks ago, and I listened to those young men over there talk about really their want. And I asked them out of all of them, I said, listen, how many of you would like to have a mentor in your life? Because not a single one had a mentor. All but one raised their hand. And the one that didn't raise his hand was the one that I stayed on more so than anybody else, because I wanted to drill down and find out what's within this young man that doesn't want him to have someone in his life to be a part of it, to make some change in it, to give him some other thoughts, as Phil gave me thoughts. And, you know, because I know that it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. It actually, I think, helped me. It cultivated me.
And what was the story there for that young man?
The story was, you know, he felt like that no one cared about him as an individual. Academically, nobody cared about him. That he didn't need anyone because he could do it all on his own. Mm-hmm. But before it was all over and I had my say with him, he's much more open now to having somebody to be a mentor to him. In fact, it's probably going to end up being me, because now he's at a comfort level of feeling like he can open up and talk to me and or have someone listen to him that's from a similar background.
One of our listeners, Dustin, emails up, was wondering if your guest would comment on what they found to be the most challenging aspect of being in this program. Mark, you deal with a lot of different organizations, 44 of them. What have you heard about the challenges faced by people who are mentors?
Sure. Our biggest issue is time. I'm a busy guy, and everybody here is pretty busy. And how do you carve out that time to be involved in that kid's life? Mm-hmm. And I think it's with any other relationship. You make a commitment.
Somebody mentioned, I think it was the mayor mentioned, it was 2 hours a week. Is that the case for most of these 44 organizations, or do they all require different levels of participation?
Yeah, it varies widely. It could be once a month, twice a month. There are those that meet every couple of days. Mm-hmm. We have folks in classrooms mm-hmm. that meet every day. But it's you know, in that short term, it's building that trusted relationship and that personal relationship with that kiddo. Mm-hmm.
I'll just speak to the challenges. And I think that, you know, a lot of our mentors come to us not really having a deep understanding of the challenges that our kids face mm-hmm. and their families face, because they've not been there.
Right.
The majority of the kids that we serve come from a single-parent home. Sometimes they may have experienced homelessness. They're facing a myriad of challenges that, you know, we as mentors may not know anything about.
Let's get into that a little bit.
Sure.
Because it seems to me that a lot of the young people that need help, who would benefit the most from having a mentor, whether it's through Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or some other organization, are kids that most of the people who would be best equipped to help them have no idea what their life is really like. So when they find out, what is the impact on the mentor of finding that information out?
Well, one of the things that we do at Big Brothers Big Sisters is we have, you know, Phil referred to a case manager. We call them match support specialists now. And so that person is there to guide that relationship through its entirety, whether that's 1 year or 10 years. That person is there for them to ensure that any bumps that they hit along the road, any challenges that the mentors face, anything that the family may need, we're there for that family. And so I think that's where we differ from a lot of mentoring organizations is the intensive support that we offer everyone.
Mark, you wanted to say something about that.
Yeah, it's a challenge for every organization, and you don't just throw a mentor into a relationship. You give them foundational knowledge. For the MMA, all of our agencies have access to our Mentoring 101 program, which is you sit down and you talk through what to expect. You talk through the legalities that are involved. You talk through what it's like for that first meeting and how to build those long-term relationships. So you don't just grab an adult and throw them in the life.
When you meet a young person, Mr. Mayor, like the young person you met at school who said, I don't need a mentor, and you started to drill down into him and you said that he's probably the person you're going to help. how do you do it? Here's a guy who doesn't want any help, doesn't need any help. Mm-hmm. Get out of my face. Leave me alone. How do you get that door to open?
Well, I think you continue to not give up on the person and make sure that he or even she may understand that you reckon with where they're coming from. You have to talk their language sometimes. You have to come out of your shell and always expect the unexpected. And I say that to say this. You talked about the shock factor or the wow factor or the impact and how a mentor may deal with that. Might I suggest that there's a learning curve for both, the mentee and the mentor. It's good for the mentor to go into a situation that they've never been in before because it widens their eyes and gives them another thought process about what people are really going through. And that in turn educates them. And now they have a better grip on real life instances and things that go on with people. And they know how to handle those things over a time period. Same thing reversed. The mentee is someone who will go into something not knowing. I didn't know Phil. I knew Phil was then with First Union. I knew over a period of time he'd go into being his own businessman. Mm-hmm. And guess who's their own businessman today? I am. That encouraged me, watching him do those type things. So you just never know what kind of influence you have on someone or what they will have on you.
I think it was you, Karen, who said that a lot of times that mentors are accepted by these young people because these young people can tell them things that they wouldn't ordinarily tell their parents because the parents might judge them. They're still talking to an adult figure. It seems to me that that adult has a responsibility, and sometimes what they might want to say or actually do say to the mentor might be something that the mentor goes, holy cow, oh my God. What do you do in that situation? Do you tell the parents? What's your relationship? Because you don't want to spoil the relationship and the trust factor you're building up with this young person, but they've just told you something that really needs something, some attention brought to it.
Right. And that, we don't tell our mentors, never share anything. Obviously, we have legal obligation to share certain things, depending on the circumstance. And again, that's where our match support specialists come in to help guide and navigate through those difficult situations, especially, if you have a mentee that comes to you and says something that needs to be reported. So absolutely, we're there for all of our mentors all the time.
So when you have to report it, because it's something that needs to be reported, what happens to the relationship between you and the young person who trusted you enough to tell you?
Well, first of all, actually, I just went through this with not necessarily my little, but through the training that I received through Big Brothers Big Sisters, never telling my mentee that I wouldn't share information. So if she ever comes to me and says, hey, I need to tell you something, but you can't tell anyone, I can't make that promise to her. So, having her know that up front doesn't breach the trust that we've built in our relationship.
Mark?
It's teaching what an adult relationship is like. The what it's like to be in a long-term, committed, understanding relationship. There are going to be things that you need to share and that you feel comfortable sharing, and that person has to make that decision just like any other relationship. Mm-hmm. That's part of why you make sure you have good support with the agencies, why you have the training when you go in. So you don't make those promises you can't keep to the kid, because that trust, that long-term trust, is so important.
Is it more about advising young people if they have a question about what they should do because they come to you with problems that perhaps they're having at school or with friends or with their parents or whatever, or a decision they have to make in their lives? Is it more about that and helping them reason through situations, or is it more about leading by example?
I think it's leading by example. I think it's just listening. I think it's exposing them to things that they're not used to seeing. I mean, when I went to Hidden Valley for the first time, I mean, that was the first time I'd ever been to that neighborhood. And that was great introduction, great exposure to me to a different side of Charlotte.
Pine Valley.
Yeah. It wasn't, that's right. It was Pine Valley.
Yeah, two valleys. We've got a few valleys around
here. I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay.
But it's, you got to be a voice. You got to be an ear for your little brother.
You deal with all these different organizations. Big Brothers Big Sisters deals with a certain area. When you're having people go in and deal with professional situations or college situations or helping them in the classroom, it's a very different thing, it would seem to me.
It isn't it? Big Brothers Big Sisters is one of our organizations. Mm-hmm. But again, each one of these has an expertise. It's not for me to say how they should do it. We can give them best practices. We give them the training, the resources so they can build their organization better.
You are with an organization that started in the mid-90s, Mark, the Mayor's Mentoring Alliance. How unusual is it for a city to have a mentoring alliance at the level of the mayor's office?
I guess I ask you that, Mr. Mayor. Have you heard of a tremendous amount?
It's very unusual. If you go and you Google Mayor's Mentoring Alliance, see what comes up.
Us.
And it speaks to this whole idea, though, of how much we want to be involved in young people's lives, because today we're talking apprenticeships for young people. Mm-hmm. We're talking internships for young people. We're trying to find a way to make sure that they're getting job skill training as they matriculate through high school and be prepared to take on the challenges of what the world has to offer. And so it's other cities are beginning to get it. And so I was asked the question last week, now, how did you all start that? And can you think that's something that we can look at? I said, well, absolutely. It's the best practice that you can gain from and can turn your city around.
The question also is, why was it started?
Well, I'll yield the right of way to my then big, Phil. He may want to speak to that a little bit.
Well, my brother was very involved in our relationship from the very beginning, from a very informal perspective. You know, Patrick and I were looking for something to do, so why don't we go over to my brother's apartment and play around and play horseback and things like that. I think that was a seed that my brother saw there was a need for in Charlotte. In fact, he's been he's been a mentor for four young men. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Here in Charlotte over the years.
Why not do it formally? I don't want you to speak for your brother or for the governor, but why did he choose to just go the informal route? And is that a legitimate way to do it?
Why not?
I think,
how many in every profession mentors are needed? Right. In business, mentors are needed. Mm-hmm. That's one of the great success factors is having a mentor.
Well, and, you know, CMPD Chief Roddy Monroe told me the very first time that I met with him as the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters, he said, Karen, these kids are going to find a mentor. It's whether or not it's the mentor.
Right,
the mentor that we would choose for them. But they're going to find somebody to model their lives after. So we're out to make sure that it's a positive mentor. Mm.
So when you look at a gang leader, that gang leader is a mentor to somebody, even though it's a negative influence. That person is acting as a mentor. Some little kid is looking up to that guy, so you might as well be a positive influence in a kid's life.
That's what we're striving for.
Well, we're going to take a break, come back, and talk more about this whole mentoring situation with Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Carolinas, or the Greater Charlotte, and about the Mayor's Mentoring Alliance, and more about the relationship between Mayor Patrick Cannon and Phil McCrory, who's the big brother to Patrick Cannon and the little brother to Patrick. No, he's the big brother to both.
That's correct.
Lucky you. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFH. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Business North Carolina Magazine, covering the economy, industry, and business of North Carolina each month. February introduces a new design for the magazine with subscriptions online at businessnc.com and at the App Store. Shipping crude oil by rail increased sharply in the past decade, and the National Transportation Safety Board has recommended stricter safeguards. What new safety rules could mean for industry, population centers, and the Keystone XL pipeline coming up in just 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. Perhaps you'd like to join our conversation. WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks is the place to start, and we are coming right back.
the car served me through college, grad school. It moved me from Minneapolis to Portland, Oregon, and then Portland, Oregon to Augusta, Georgia. And the Lumina is still giving by putting my favorite programs on the air. It feels awesome. My name is Bethany, and I donated my car to public radio.
Your unwanted vehicle can support your favorite WFAE shows with the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Get details at WFAE.org. And thanks.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins, sitting here with Karen Calder, CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Charlotte, and Mark Teagle, the chair of the Mayor's Mentoring Alliance Advisory Board, the mayor of Charlotte, Patrick Cannon, former little brother, and his former big brother, Phil McCrory, who is with the...
I hope I'm still his big brother.
No, you are indeed. You are indeed.
Always. And he's also, Phil McCrory is also the big brother to the governor of North Carolina, Patrick McCrory, who joins us now. Mr. Governor, welcome.
It's great to be on. I'm just so proud of Mayor Cannon. I'm very proud of my brother, and I'm also proud of the Big Brothers Big Sister. I'm so glad the mayor's mentoring alliance is still in place. The reason it started is because of Phil and Patrick Cannon, Phil McCrory and Patrick Cannon, and the impact that had on my life. And I saw that it was a need in 1995 when I was first elected mayor. And I'm just so glad that Pat's putting emphasis on it and taking it to a new direction. I think that's fantastic.
Phil brought this up. I think it was off the air, Governor, that when a big brother becomes involved or a big sister becomes involved, many times the family becomes involved. And he was talking about you and him and Patrick Cannon just going and hanging around and horsing around together because you were looking for something to do. Is that unusual, do you think? Is it that members of the family get involved with the big brother or big sister?
Well, Pat had a personality that was just so engaging that the whole family was going to get involved whether we wanted to or not. And I always called him Lynn Swan. He reminded me of Lynn Swan, if you remember that, Patrick.
I do, indeed. Yeah.
And, you know, and then Phil went off to MBA school at Carolina, and Patrick and I kind of got together on our own numerous times, and he'd come to my swimming pool at Villa Hermosa Apartments, and then
where he would try to drown me every now and then?
Yeah, I would drown him. I'd teach him how to do a flip on the diving board. And we just had a great relationship. And by the way, Patrick, you might not know this, but I actually joined Right Moves for Youth, which is another mentoring program. Mm-hmm. And I had two kids under Right Moves for Youth. And Patrick helped me with that later on in life when I was mayor and he was a city councilman. Mm-hmm. I had a young man named Furman Smith who is now in his 30s. And I still talk to Furman probably every 2 to 3 weeks. And he now has a family of his own, and he's godfather to his child and first child. And Patrick helped me a lot with Patrick. You remember Furman real well. And
I just saw him recently.
Is that right? Yeah. And so, you know, Patrick, I got guidance from Patrick later on in my life when I was in my 30s or early 40s when I became a mentor. And I'm just proud that they're continuing the Mayor's Mentoring Alliance. I think it's very unique for Charlotte. And I'm glad my successors are taking it to another level.
I've got two big brothers here, the governor of North Carolina, Phil McCrory, his brother, and Karen Calder, who's a big sister. I'd like to hear what it gives you, this mentoring relationship. What does it do for you, the mentor? There's something you must get out of this, and I'll begin with the governor. Although you were, I guess you were a big brother, but not with Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
I was a big brother in Right Moves. I was a Right Moves for Youth mentor, okay, which mentor. Is a different type of program, very similar to Big Brothers, Big Brother, and they all get along great. We're working as a team, but I learned more probably from Patrick and Furman and Lamar and others than they learned from me because they exposed me to an environment and culture that I needed to be exposed to. And I got to hear what the next generation was thinking too. So I think it helped me become a better mayor, frankly. And it's still had an impact on my life, and that relationship continues to this day, just like the relationship with Phil and Patrick continue to this day. So I think a lot of these relations go on for a lifetime, not just a year or two, but a lifetime. And that's been the case with three of my four mentoring experiences I've had. I've only lost touch of one person that I mentored. And I learned from Phil and Patrick. I'm very proud of both of them. I'm proud of my big brother for doing this. He was a great role model for me, too.
Phil, what do you get out of it?
Well, to this day, I remember election day back in November. I was standing next to Carmen, or to Patrick's mom, Carmen, sitting in a chair, just kind of just watching and admiring from afar. And, you know, this is what, 25, 30 years later.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me to something I wanted to talk about, because, Phil, you were very instrumental in Patrick Cannon's life as a young man, and obviously, Governor, you were too, through the relationship that you had with your big brother. Yep. And with Patrick. What happened? Patrick Cannon's a Democrat. What happened? What went wrong?
He never listened to me.
Don't forget where you came from, brother. Whatever. So...
I'll leave it at that. Yeah. So,
you know, but it does show this, that I will say this, is Patrick and I, because of our relationship, even though we're of different parties, different philosophies, yeah, we're having a great relationship between a governor and a mayor.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I began this program, and I know that you've been listening, Governor, with a question to the mayor about why we passed in Charlotte on the Republican National Convention. And gosh knows when we were when we had the Democratic National Convention, we were beating the drum and beating our chests, and we were bigger than anything in the world because we had gotten this convention. Was it a good idea to pass on the RNC, Governor?
It was, and I want to commend Mayor Cannon for calling me and asking for my opinion and saying, you know, Governor, if we do this, we're going to have to do this together, and if we don't do it, we're going to have to do this together. So my dog's barking. Sorry.
So we take your dog to work.
No, I'm at home. We're at. You know, I'm just proud of Mayor Cannon. That was a team decision. We thought it was the best short term decision, and then down the road we'll reconsider because of the short cycle of time and the sweat investment and the financial investment in that short cycle.
I don't want to hold you up. I know you have probably some things to do today as the governor of North Carolina, so I'll let you go. But thank you for joining the program. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Governor Pat McCrory joining us by phone from wherever he is with his dog.
Well, and Mike, let me just, if I might, just thank him for having the fortitude of going ahead and starting the Mayor's Mentoring Alliance. It is something that has made a difference in this community, and I just can't say enough about it. And as I said before, I think other mayors across the country are now beginning to take a look at Charlotte and how we do it and want to follow that leadership. So hopefully that will continue.
The Mayor's Mentoring Alliance says it strives to uphold evidence-based standards in developing relationships between mentors and mentees. Mark, what does that mean?
Well, what it really means, we want to build a national model, and we want to support the organizations that do mentoring. We don't do mentoring at the MMA. We support the organizations that do. So we've built a continuum of support, a progression of learning over the last year or so, starting with what do you do? How do you pitch your mission? Everybody in mentoring is very passionate about what they do. Can you get that across in 20 seconds? Do you have an elevator pitch? And then do you know what organizations are around you? Can you work together with other organizations? Mm-hmm. And we've built that all the way through to now we're up to how do you choose good board members? How do you understand where your needs really are? Because many nonprofits live and die by their board members. So that's our next training, and we're looking to the Charlotte business community to find good board members so that we can train them how to be good board members.
Well,
and then we'll bring them together.
Can I just speak to the evidence-based practices? One of the real benefits of Big Brothers Big Sisters is we've been in existence in the United States for over 100 years. Every single piece of our service delivery model is based on research. So we didn't just make it up. We actually have at our disposal the lead researchers in the field of youth development that are putting together the different components of our service delivery model to ensure that we're matching children, again, that are going to have the best likelihood of sticking together and that we're producing outcomes for kids.
How would you assess your impact over time?
Well, I'll tell you, we just last year served 1,340 kids in the Charlotte, Mecklenburg, and Cabarrus County areas. And when we look at our impact, we're looking at things like, did they improve in school? And 84% of the kids that went through our program last year and came to us that were making a C grade or lower actually were able to improve their grades in 1 year's time.
I have some other figures here. It says here, it is said that children who meet regularly with their mentors are 52% less likely than their peers to skip a day of school and 37% less likely to skip a class. They are 46% less likely than their peers to start using illegal drugs and 27%, if I got that number right, less likely to start drinking.
Absolutely. And we're really proud that last year, 98% of our kids that were involved in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program avoided the juvenile justice system. And that is huge because 20% of the kids that we serve have a parent or sometimes both parents that are incarcerated. These kids are the most vulnerable. They are 6 times as likely to become involved in the juvenile justice system and 7 times as likely to become incarcerated as adults. These kids need our help.
And all of this costs us money if they slip through the cracks.
Absolutely. In the state of North Carolina, it costs us around $75,000 to house one child for 1 year in a juvenile detention center. When you compare that to the cost of supporting them with a mentor, it literally pales in comparison.
So, and the cost for a mentor is free, isn't it? I mean, it's all volunteer. Is it not all volunteer throughout the whole system, including the Mayor's Mentoring Alliance and all the 44 organizations that you work with?
Our volunteers do not get paid. However, all of the professional support that goes behind making sure that that relationship is successful does cost money.
Yeah. And the research obviously costs money. But there are 1,340 people that Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Charlotte served last year. How many people do you think in the 44 organizations that you deal with, Mark, how many are served through all those 44 organizations? Do you have any idea?
We actually don't. That's one of the things that we're asking our organizations about is how do you track? How do you know who you've impacted and how you're tracking that impact? Mm-hmm. So that's something that part of our pivot here from 3 years ago is that we want to know those numbers. And so we're working with the city to see how we can do that.
But, you know, regardless of the number of kids that we serve, we have today 300 kids that are waiting to be matched with a mentor. So, you know, if there's one thing that I can get across in the show is that we need people to step up, whether it's two Big Brothers Big Sisters or two one of the other agencies as part of the MMA, we need you.
You mentioned off the air, Mr. Mayor, that we are short of mentors. She's just confirmed that. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think that sometimes people think that it's more than what they actually feel like they can do. And so there's an education piece out there. We have to make sure that people understand that it doesn't cost a lot. It costs time.
Time.
You know, if you just have just a little bit of time, mm-hmm. that time makes a difference. Right, Phil?
Absolutely.
Did you ever have a moment when you thought, I just don't have time for this week?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you need to make that time. And it's such a small amount of time and such an important part of what you become as well. So, I'd like to think that Patrick and I are a success of what can come out of Big Brothers. There are a lot of more low impact or low visibility successes that have occurred as well.
You were young and single when you were a big brother to Patrick Cannon, but what happens to a person who is married, has a family, has a job, you have all these time things pulling at you from all, how do you then walk away from your family and your own children to help some young kid who's not part of your family? Where do you find the time for that?
You don't walk away from your family. I mean, it's like they were talking about. Their families get to know each other. It's not a one-on-one only. It's mm-hmm. it's.
You know, Patrick life. Got to know my kids.
Yeah, indeed.
I've gotten to know his kids.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you too. We actually are bringing a new program to Charlotte. We'll be one of the few in the country through Big Brothers Big Sisters in collaboration with an organization out of New York called iMentor. Mm-hmm. So time will no longer be an excuse for a lot of folks, because even if you travel, this mentoring opportunity will be something that you can very easily do from anywhere in the world. And basically, it's a platform for mentoring that's never happened in Charlotte, and it's e-based.
You put I before it, which means it has to be on the internet or through Apple. So it's going to be an internet-based program where you don't meet face to face.
You just do
it
electronically. You do meet face to face, but it's less frequently than the traditional mentoring programs. It's actually once every 4 weeks.
It's like pen pals, isn't it?
It is, but it goes much more deeper than that. This particular program is a very structured initiative where we'll actually be working with ninth grade students and following them all the way through high school and even through their first 2 years of college.
Hmm. Lisa emails, is there an age limit for an effective mentor? I am a 51-year-old about to send my only daughter off to college, but still have a lot more to give.
Well, our mentors range in age from 18 to 80. So I would say please contact either Big Brothers Big Sisters or one of the MMA agencies, and we gladly engage you.
You know, give me a, just. I know this is a lot because you have 44 agencies, and you mentioned that some of them deal with architecture students and mentor them through their studies. What are some of the other areas of expertise that people may think, I don't want to be a Big Brother Big Sister, but I might. I am an expert in something. So what are the organizations? What are some of the areas of expertise you deal with?
Sure. So first of all, check out mayorsmentoringalliance.org or send us an email at mma. Or at charlottenc.gov.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. MMA at charlottenc.gov. It's everything. We have folks who are focused just on athletics. We have folks who, let's go for a bike ride. We have folks who are very focused on academics. Mm-hmm. You think about all the organizations that are in schools, that's a lot of ours.
So give your address again, your email address, or your web address.
Sure. It's mayorsmentoringalliance.org.
.org. We'll put that up on our website.
Excellent.
What sorts of screenings do mentors go through, or do they have to go through before they become a mentor?
With Big Brothers Big Sisters, you know, obviously child safety is our number one priority, and that is very evident in the screening process that we conduct with volunteers. Certainly a thorough background check is required for every volunteer that we work with, regardless mm-hmm. of the program that they're participating in. And then outside of that, it is a one-hour interview to get to know folks and to assess their suitability for our program.
And can you work, or do they work with, in all these different organizations, with more than one mentee at a time, or is it usually restricted to one relationship?
In our program, it's one-to-one.
And we have one-on-one, we have group, and we have peer-to-peer.
And you've written, Mr. Mayor, about the long-term effects of all of this. I have 20 seconds.
You know, this is National Mentoring Month. Life is about choices. Might you choose to make a difference in the life of a young person? That's okay. It.
Mayor Patrick Cannon, who was a little brother and who now mentors others. Phil McCrory, his former big brother from McCrory & Company, who also big brothered to the governor. We see what happened there. Karen Calder and Mark Teagle also with us. Thank you all for the hour.